With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Today we have a special guest coming to us all the way from across the great ponds in the country of France, believe it or not. It's probably like 10 o'clock there right now. But before we get to him, before we get to him, got to roll the intro. Welcome to Wheelchair Wednesday. All right, y'all, let's welcome Fredo, the wheelchair guy, to the show.
Well, hey, bonsoir, mon ami. How's it going?
Pretty good. What's going on, man? Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, man. Thanks for inviting me on. I appreciate you the opportunity to connect.
Absolutely. Now, this was kind of like a last-minute thing. You know, I ran across you a couple times before, but then today I watched that one that came up, popped up on my YouTube, and I watched it where you were doing the tips and tricks. I think it was even like 2 years ago, but you were out in the cold. And you were like, first thing, tray. And you're like, trays. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's such a good idea. Why doesn't anybody ever think about the tray? So I seen that instantly. And as soon as I seen that, I was like, yep. I was like, I got to get a hold of this guy. So I reached out and here we go.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate it, man. I only become aware of you recently when you posted. We became Facebook friends really randomly. If I see someone in a wheelchair, I normally accept their friend request.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Because, yeah, I used to be like, if we never met in real life, then it's just a flat no. But now I'm like, if you're in a wheelchair, then why not? And then you posted, I finally got 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, well done. Like, that's cool. That's a great achievement. I remember when I first got my first 1,000 and... So yeah, then I checked out your channel and then I just shot you a message and said, hey man, yeah, let's collab.
Awesome. Yeah, dude. Now I mentioned you're in France. You said you're from UK. Explain a little bit about that. Like, where are you from and like, where'd you grow up to? How'd you end up there?
Okay. So currently I'm 42 years old. When I was 26, I left the UK to go live in, I traveled around Southeast Asia. I lived in Australia for 2 years. I lived in New Zealand for 3 years. I got deported. It was kind of a weird story.
We're going to talk about that on another. I was going to say another podcast. Yeah. Man, that sounds like a podcast in itself.
Yeah, then I came back. But while I was away, I developed this passion for snowboarding. And then I was back in the UK. And then I got offered a job here in France in a place called Morzine, which is in the French Alps. And they've got some of the best snowboarding and skiing here. And then, yeah, I've lived here for 10 years and I was a really avid snowboarder before my accident. And I like mountain biking and all sorts of like thrill seeking stuff like that. So that's why I live here. But yeah, we can get onto how I had my accident. But after my accident, I decided to stay here because of the community and I just love it here, even though it's quite wheelchair inaccessible.
What part of France are you in?
It's a place called Morzine in the French Alps.
French Alps, Morzine. Man, yeah. Have they, I'm a big World War II buff. Did that affect that place at all in World War II? Do you know of?
I'm not sure actually, but I know that you're into World War II because I was watching some of your other videos, which I was really interesting, like why you're into World War II. And I know that you're into like guns and shooting guns and stuff. I wonder what kind of got you into that.
You know, it's weird. I don't know. Ever since a young kid, I've always taken like a like to, not all wars, but like World War II for some reason, just that war. I don't know. I felt like connected to it, like almost like I've been there before. So just growing up, you know what I mean? Learning about it, learning about the places that it took place at, learning about the time frames, the people involved. I don't know. It's something that really kind of wraps you up. I seen a comedian the other day make a joke of it. He said, If you're over 30 and you're into World War II, welcome to the club. And everybody started clapping. I was like, man, what is it? I don't understand. So yeah, I don't know. That's just something that, you know, I took interest in, and I think it was a time where, you know, people really stood up and had to fight for something that was real, that we had to stop, you know, obviously evil from controlling the world. So that's kind of what got me into that, but
that's really interesting, man, because I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but I kind of want to hold on to it, because this is one of the questions I was going to ask you. But I wasn't really into World War II at all until I saw this documentary about how big a deal of it was, and all the different like intricacies of how long it went on, and all the different countries that were involved. And it was fascinating, man. And I can see why you would be into it. And I know that you like shooting guns as well, which I feel like is quite, you know, I'm from the UK and we don't really have firearms over here, but it looks like a lot of fun to just unload a clip. So I've seen you do that, and that's pretty cool, man.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. Hold on one second, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. We got a fit check vertical streaming issue. Now, folks, we are trying new things here, and I want to make sure that we're bringing this to you, you know, as good as we possibly can. But for some reason, it looks okay. Now it's gone.
Dream, living carefree in Morzine, to a hospital bed, dosed up on morphine. Things all changed on a random Thursday, took a wrong turn and it turned into the worst day. Wasn't always smooth, didn't think I would last. Now I do YouTube and I've got a podcast. Little bit of rapping, making things happen, cause life never tells you when the last time you'll strap in. I made the change from depressed and sad. It's not about what I've lost, but it's what I still have. People who know me, they tell me I'm a fun guy. The secret to my joy is the magic in the fun guy. Sometimes in life situations, they don't seem fair. Still riding bikes, I just strap it to my wheelchair. My life isn't hindered, it's filled with bliss. When I was first injured, I couldn't picture this. Yeah, smiles every day with the right attitude, full of gratitude for the things I can do here. Damn right, I like the life I live. It's not about what you take, but it's what you can give, huh? Stereotypes of a wheelchair misunderstood, and it's still all good, yeah, And if you don't know, now you know, let's go.
Welcome back. We got Fredo the wheelchair guy here live with us, all the way from the country of France. And we were just starting out with the first question, really, of, you know, how happened.
So go ahead. I can pick it up from there, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
So how I first got injured. So I'm a T12 paraplegic, and I broke my back falling off a cliff. I snowboarded off a cliff, basically, with a friend. Luckily, he didn't follow me off the cliff. There was a moment in time where he was going to. We actually recorded a podcast on it on my channel, and he said, "Yeah, he was like, oh, come on, man!" Like,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It'll be fine, but because it was a whiteout. So I know that we kind of covered a little bit of this before. So it was a whiteout. We couldn't really see much. And I was trying to take him to a place that was out of bounds, that there was like going to be fresh snow. And yeah, I was pumping for speed, and I was going in an undesired direction, and I snowboarded straight off a cliff. I fell 20 meters. So in your like freedom measurements, that's 50 feet. So
yeah, freedom measurements. Sorry.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. So yeah, man, 50 feet onto some rocks. I remember I kind of tumbled, and I remember this big gnarly looking rock looked like the asteroid from Armageddon. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I'm going to like hit that. with my back, and then like this big piercing pain. And then from then on, like, the memory was hazy, but I remember saying, I can't feel my legs, I can't feel my legs. And my friend Pete, who was really, he actually climbed down and called ski patrol. It was really lucky that he didn't follow me off. It was really awesome. Like, he saved my life that day. What a legend. Like, really heroic.
All right, shout out for sure.
My friend Pete. And what I didn't realize until we recorded that podcast was that I had concussion. So he was saying, I kept rediscovering that I was paralyzed. I was like, oh my God, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs. And unbeknown to me, I'd already said that like 5 or 6 times with, you know, with memory loss. So yeah, it was tough. We got rescued, or I got rescued from ski patrol. It was quite a gnarly place that I was on, and I was begging them to like, please give me something for the pain. Please give me something for the pain. And they were like, we can't, we're not medical professionals. You're still in danger. We need to get you off the cliff. And so, yeah, they got me off. I remember them cutting my ski clothes, and I was like, no, don't cut them. They're like expensive Gore-Tex clothing.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I think it was interesting. Like, when you have an experience like that, you're so, you don't really realize what's ahead, and you like, no, these material possessions that cost money, like, don't destroy them. And then you realize actually you've got way bigger problems on your plate.
Oh, yeah.
And in your near future. So yeah, man, basically snowboarding accident, got whisked away to the hospital, and then I started my rehab, and that's when I also started my YouTube channel.
Heck yeah. And that was when, what year?
January 2019.
Dang, that was October. So you were right before me then. Well, you had that whole year. That's, so we're not too far off. But that's a hell of a story, man. Did they come and bring the helicopter to get you?
No, because the clouds, there was too many clouds. It was a whiteout.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the helicopter couldn't fly. So I had to go in an ambulance for 2.5 hours to Annecy.
Right.
Which was, yeah, so that wasn't ideal. I think a helicopter would have been preferable and more enjoyable, but you know, it's okay. So I live in France, so I didn't have to pay anything for that. So that's really cool. I didn't have to pay anything for my surgery or my rehab. So that's nice. The beauty of, you know, living in Europe.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of pretty much like if you have car insurance over here. Well, at least in my state, every state's different. But in my state, the car insurance, just because I was in an auto accident and it was auto insurance, it paid for everything. Other people, like with regular medical insurance, just regular medical, it doesn't pay for really barely anything. So it's really wonky over here. I don't know. You guys, it's like universal for everything.
Yeah, and I really like it that way. I know, like, I don't really want to go down an unintentional rabbit hole here, but I think the way that you guys do it, it seems undesirable. Like, I got injured and I didn't have to immediately worry about if am I going to be bankrupt as well as paralyzed. So I think it's quite a relief to have that universal level of like really good care.
Right.
And I think that is one of the things I'm really grateful for living in France, because yeah, it's the medical system here is really, really good.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully, man, I'm hoping that we can turn things around here in the U.S. and get some stuff going, because like you said, the place you live isn't very accessible. Well, over here, there's, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It just depends on where you live at. Again, yeah. Not to jump in a rabbit hole, but yeah, that's a whole nother issue. Now, we covered your, how did it happen, your level of injury, T12. So you're like pretty much like stomach line, I'm thinking, or?
I'm an incomplete injury, so I've got like a hell of a lot of sensation. Like, I can feel my legs, I can feel my feet, I can feel my penis. My sex life is quite active, which is really
handy.
So I don't have any voluntary movement. So, but I do have a lot of spasticity. But yeah, I'd say it was sort of just below the belly button. I've got some like a lot of ab control as well, which is good.
In your stander, and I was like, in order to do that, you got to have ab control, because I was like, I wish I could do that. I'm a T3 T4, so I'm like fused, yeah, and got all the hardware and all that crap. I'm complete. So for me to do like what you were doing, I was like, that's obviously impossible, but I was like, it looked like it felt so good. I'm like, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think that's impossible at all. I know a lot of people that with higher level injuries that use a standing frame. Like, if for me to use a standing frame and put my arms up like this, that's
I have a standing frame, but what I mean is the way that you were bending back and then like coming back up and doing all that stuff. Like, I feel like I could do that, obviously, but I don't have the core strength to bring myself back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people that I've talked to that are higher injury, like, we just want abs. Just give us our abs back and we'll be happy. You know what I mean? Here's a question that's, it's you know, kind of weird, but it's, would you walk again? Now, what I mean about that is, obviously, yeah, you would walk again. But if you could go back to the day that you were injured, obviously not get injured, and live the rest of your life the way you were going, would you do that, or would you stay where you're at now and all the stuff that
I've made a life for myself since my injury that is wildly different. I've gone through a hell of a lot of personal growth, which I couldn't give up for the abilities that I used to have. I'm a different person now, and I think the struggle made me a lot stronger. Before, I think I took a lot of things for granted. I was a little bit more selfish. I like to think that I was quite mindful, but compared to now, I was a different person. So absolutely, I wouldn't have it any other way. Although if you'd have asked me closer to my injury in the first year, I would have said yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of the hardest things was putting my family and my relationships through tough times. But again, even the people that are close to me, they're stronger now because of it. So all in all, it's a real net positive for me. But I do realize that I'm in a position where, you know, I live a great life. You know, I have a low injury. The medical bills were paid. You know, I've even weirdly enough benefited financially from my injury. I wouldn't change that. Like it's odd. Like, if you want to give me a cure for spinal cord injury, like, yeah, I'll take
like,
it.
Sure, like, why not?
Yeah, I wouldn't go back and change it. No, the answer to that would be no. For me, like, it's been a net positive in my life.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right.
For sure.
Yay. I like it. I mean, that's me, man. I'm with you. Like, even though it's been such a short time, I'm a totally different person. I've learned so much. I feel a whole lot different just about life in general. Like, you know, I've learned how to appreciate more. So, yeah, I'm with you. I know a lot of ladies are going to be wondering about this. I don't know if you talked about this yet, but number three is dating or married?
I'm not married, but I am dating. I've got a girlfriend, beautiful girlfriend. We've been together about a year and a half now, and we're incredibly close, incredibly in love. The injury gives a really... I think the injury is a catalyst for connection. I've never started a relationship so openly and honestly. We courted. It was really lovely. We've got a beautiful little story, actually. So when we met, I had a mutual friend that told me, you know, I think, I said, oh, I quite like Christina. And she was like, oh, I think she likes you too. So I had a green light to sort of, you know.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
All systems go right. Chug ahead.
Yeah. So basically I said, look, do you want to go for a picnic down the lake? And we went for a picnic. It was great. And then on our second date, we came back here to my house and I said, oh, I'd love you to teach me how to make a Spanish omelet, because she's Spanish. And she said, yeah. I said, I think what would be a really cool idea is if you sat in my other wheelchair and you could see things from my point of view. You know, I live on my own. I do everything on my own. I cook my own food. But if you can see how I do things from the wheelchair, that give you an interesting perspective on how I live my life.
Right.
She took to it. She really committed to it. She didn't get out of the wheelchair all day. She even tried to get in the toilet, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, you won't be able to get in the toilet. It's too small. Cause my other wheelchair was like ever so slightly bigger.
Right.
But yeah, she just stayed in the wheelchair the whole time. And she was really impressed at like my resourcefulness. And she was like, oh, how are you going to do this? And I was like, well, if you pull up to the stove, like full on, it's going to be quite hard. So if you pull up sideways, like it's easier. And I was just showing her tips and tricks with the grabber tool to get down things down.
Oh yeah,
gotta
have a grabber, bro. Everybody has to have one close by every room, ready to go. Yep.
So basically, I think she was quite impressed. She was like, "Oh, you know what? This guy is pretty independent. He lives his life." And then we played this game. It was kind of like a weird game. Like, I won't go into it. But basically, I was a bit cheeky, and I said, "Oh, why don't we up the stakes?" I said, you know, the next game we play, the loser has to kiss the winner. And she was like, ooh, okay.
There you go.
So, yeah, I mean, that progressed. And we had like a little, you know, I lost and I had to give her a kiss. I started with a little peck on the cheek. And I said, oh, you want to play again? And then she lost. And then, and then we had like a lovely little, our first kiss, which was nice.
Oh, well, shout out, Christina. Yeah. Is that her name? Sorry, Christina, is that the name?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah. And so that brought us on to... You know, so basically she started kissing my neck a little bit.
And my
neck is extra sensitive since my injury. And I kind of like was like, whoa. And, you know, she was like, what's that? I was like, oh, well, basically I can kind of have like full body orgasms just from neck kissing.
Dang.
And she was like, no way. And that opened up like a really interesting rabbit hole of like, you know, she's because I was like, I guess you're wondering, you know, does my dick work? And she was like, well, yeah, kind of. Was wondering, and we had a like a nice open discussion, and I said, "Yeah, it does." Like basically, I just explained it. I just have to use Viagra, really. It works, but you know, it needs a lot of help.
Needs some somebody helping it out, something helping it out, right?
Yeah. So she said, "That's cool." She said, "You know, if I'm completely honest, if you couldn't have sex, that would be a deal breaker for me because I like sex." And I was like, "Cool, man, me too." And then so starting off the relationship on such an honest. You know, like the second date, and we're talking
knowing
about,
what to experience.
I had to take Viagra.
Yeah.
So that brought us a lot closer, and I think ever since then we've just been honest with each other, almost too honest. She says I'm guilty of oversharing sometimes, but yeah, it's just really nice to have that connection, you know. And she's awesome, man. She's absolutely incredible. So,
heck yeah, I like it. You know, I think it's important that, you know, if you're you need somebody, at least like a friend or somebody to talk to and hang out with. And if you can find like somebody to be a significant other with you, and especially with the sex thing and everything else, like, yeah, that's great. That's absolutely wonderful. That's 100% exactly what everybody strives for. You know, and especially if they're active, you can active and they know what's going on. They know what to expect. They know about the what I call code browns that happen yeah. that we're all very familiar with. Heck yeah. So
well, before we bump on to the next question, Rick, I just wanted to say that when I first got injured, I had a different girlfriend and the relationship didn't survive, but it's a positive story. But my point is I went through a period of being single and I was really insecure about the wheelchair. I thought the wheelchair was going to be a huge deal breaker. I had experiences with girls and I'd be funny and charming. And I was like, oh my God, man, why doesn't this girl like me? And it must be the wheelchair. It must be the wheelchair. And it was kind of arrogant because I'm not God's gift to women. You know, there could be things other than the wheelchair, and it could have been the wheelchair. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, I remember there was a real insecure. I went through a period of real insecurity being single and like dating in a wheelchair. So that was really hard. And I don't want to overlook that. But yeah, I just found the right girl, and she, I don't know, man, if you find someone that will look past the wheelchair, then like they're really special. And I think the relationship that I have with her is one of the best relationships I've ever had in my life. It's awesome.
Heck yeah. That's a good story, man. I like hearing the positive, happy stories.
What about you, Rick? Do you have a significant other?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've been together, 13 years in September. So we've been together quite a while, but when it happened,
nice.
You know, I was really worried because I was really rocky. You know, I was bad. I was drinking like every single day, a 15 pack a day. Like I'd get done with work, I'd come home. That's all I do is drink. And I was really depressed. I was really like worried about the future. You know what I mean? I didn't have like enough money coming in that was going to sustain the life that I wanted to live. And really just, I didn't know what to do, man. I didn't know where to go. And one night I just, I prayed to God. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I prayed to God to come and change my life and help me be a better person. And 4 days later, boom, accident happens. And it was really bad. Yeah. So, I mean, like the accident itself, I won't get into it. I mean, it's on my channel. My accident story is what it's called. But after that, like I was worried she was going to leave. So like in the middle of like me being injured and me in the hospital, I'm like, where's Melody? Like, is she here? Is she around? I'm thinking she's just going to be like, all right. Good luck. You know what I mean? And she didn't. She stuck around the whole time. So I was just like, wow. You know what I mean? Like to have, like I said, to have somebody like that, that knows what to expect, that's been there with you. And I mean, obviously that your girl wasn't with you at the time, but like, you know, when they can go through something like that with you and then still be with you and like help out, and you know, that's a special thing.
Oh, 100%, man. So the girl I was with at the time, she stuck with me as well. Like, it was really traumatic for her. And I remember thinking, why do you want to be with me? Like, I'm a fucking, you know, I'm a cripple. Like, you know.
Yeah,
what,
I know. I'm like, just say it. Okay. I don't even say it, right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't understand. If you want to leave, that's fine. Like, you know, and that's absolutely fine. And I went through a really dark period. I've sort of documented this on my channel, but like, I went through suicidal thoughts thinking that if I just killed myself, that would be a lot easier for her. Like, she's not brave enough to end the relationship, but I'm brave enough to end my life. So you know, in 10 years time, she will look back and thank me, which was ridiculous.
It's crazy to think about that, but a lot of us do. Like, that's where we go. That's the first thing we think about. Like, a lot of times is we're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to do it. You know, because why? Who would care? Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, I can't. I'm not going to change. I'm in this chair now. All I am is a burden to people. That's, I mean, it just all goes and goes and goes. But yeah, you got to find something to grab yourself out of that. Obviously, you did. I mean, thankfully.
I did, man. I did. Yeah, I've got a lot to thank for that. But like, the love that she showed me was incredible, man. Like, the relationship didn't work out, but that was just because we were incompatible and COVID happened. I mean, a lot of relationships suffered through COVID. But ultimately, we're still really good friends. Like, we chat, like, we messaged each other very recently. She's in a new relationship now. We keep in contact. But yeah, man, the love that she showed me, like, saved me. Like, I was, when you can't love yourself, you realize, you think, what are you, an idiot? How do you love me? Can you not see I'm broken?
Right.
But it was interesting, man, because after my accident, I felt like I built a lot of my identity up on my abilities. You know, I was like a very good snowboarder. I was good at mountain biking. I worked in a pretty cool bar in town, and I had this identity as this person. And then you're in hospital, you're broken, and I just felt exposed. I was like, who the fuck am I? Like, right. You know, I'm no longer that cool kid. And she was like, I never liked that cool kid. You know, it really fucking annoyed me. Like, I love you. And I was like, really? So yeah, she liked me loads better after my accident because you know, she said I was more humble, I was more grateful. It was just a catalyst for a good change. But there was a dark period that I had to go through where I did feel like a burden, and I was so depressed, I couldn't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. But luckily, we made it out the other side. And yeah, I mean, there's loads more to that story, and it's all documented on my channel. But yeah, I won't go into it now. But yeah, I don't know, man. It was a beautiful time. The love that she showed me was incredible, and I'm so grateful for her. And then
she's gonna watch this and be all blushy, I bet, and you're gonna be like, "What are you watching?"
Yeah. So the even though the relationship didn't work out romantically, like, we're still good friends, and yeah, man. So she saved my life.
Hey, man! Shout out to all the women in the world who stay by their guys. Yeah, man, like, that's awesome. Now, another thing I wanted to get into is there's something else I was going to say, but I forgot. It'll come to me. Pet peeves. On to pet peeves. What's your biggest pet peeve about being in a wheelchair?
I think possibly when I go swimming and there's able-bodied people in the disabled changing room, they always like come out and they're like, "Oh, sorry." And
yeah, like, oh, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that and the toilets, if they're in the toilets when you need to get in. But I mean, yeah, it's not really that big a deal. I kind of made peace with it. I kind of just think, you know, the disabled changing room is, I've done it, you know, when I was able-bodied, so I guess it's karma. I try to not let it bother me. Like, I think I remind myself that I've got control over my emotions, and like, if I'm angry about it, that's my choice. So, or I can just be cool about it, and they feel embarrassed anyway, so.
Right. I like that kind of how you bring that up and the way you describe it, because, like, I mean, just by alone, it's kind of like by being shamed, but silently being shamed. You just look at them like, thanks, dude. You know what I mean? Like, and they feel like they feel like crap either way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of the same way. It's happened to me a few times. Like, when I go to the casino or something, and, like, I go to, you know, the restroom, and there's, like, every stall is, like, finished, and the handicap stall's got a dude in it, and then he comes out and it's just like a regular dude holding the drink, and I'm like, really, bro? Like, come on. He's like, oh, sorry about that. They feel really bad.
It's annoying. Yeah.
But you know what, maybe they learned, maybe that point needed to happen for them to learn that lesson, you know what I mean? And that next time they might not. they might think twice.
For sure, man. So that would be my pet peeve.
For sure. What about next one? Something you wish you could do that you can no longer do. What would that be?
Snowboarding, for sure, man. When it snows around here now, because I still live in the French Alps, and in the winter it snows a lot. And, you know, when it snows loads, like, I feel imprisoned, where before that used to be my playground. That used to open up everywhere for me, because if you've ever snowboarded on a powder day, that means the whole mountain's accessible. I was a very good snowboarder. It's hard to say that because I can't, like, you know,
toot your own horn,
like,
right?
Videos. You know what I mean? I used to be able to do, like, decent tricks. Like, you know, I was really good, especially when, and also it pumps your ego up when you, like, send, like, a huge backflip underneath the lift line and you can hear the people on the lift, like, going, whoa, that was really cool.
Right.
It pumps up your ego, you know? So it was like a, I don't know, I liked the feeling of snowboarding, and, like, it's such a wonderful, immense joy to express myself so effortlessly on the snowboard. I used to like to listen to music. I even used to like taking small amounts of psychedelics and going snowboarding.
There
and just,
you go.
Like, absolutely, really enjoying, like, just expressing myself on my snowboard. And that is something I really miss, because I used to get into the flow state, like, immensely, you know, with the music. And I don't really have anything that fills that void, you know, like, with that, you know, that rush. I like to do artwork. I've got other hobbies, and I can get sort of lost in things, but, like, not so much as when you're, like, flying down a mountain, and, you know, it's just incredible. So,
yeah, it sounds like that. You know, as you're, you know, visualizing all that, it sounds pretty sweet. Now, you were doing backflips off what do you call it, cliff lines or whatever?
Not cliffs, just underneath the lift lines.
Oh, so lift, like, lines.
You know,
that's
as,
what it is.
As the ski lifts.
Oh,
over,
yeah. Like, okay.
If you send a huge backflip, like, you're doing it for the crowd. You're doing it for people that you can't even see. It's just like you can just hear right. them going, "Ooh, wow, cool," and it pumps up your ego. You know, like, they're just faceless people. Like, I've done backflips before when no one was watching, and it really wasn't that cool.
Right. Oh no, for sure. I get what you're saying. Now, I have seen it's a YouTube video or a documentary of this dude that goes up and he does, because he used to ski. And he goes all the way up at the top, and he gets on a uniski, and he drops, and it's like, it's a pretty big cliff, and it's like a cliff drop, and they were all worried, but he did it, and he went down the mountain. Have you ever thought about doing that again? Maybe something like that? Do you do that?
I tried it. I'd love to. I know who you're on about, Trevor Kinnison. He makes it look real.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Really easy, man. I've tried sit skiing, and it's not easy. And the other thing, like, my legs get really spazzy. So, like if I'm in the sit ski and it's like jogging up and down, it's not much fun. My legs get rigid. My toes get really cold.
Oh, and you can, like, feel it too. So it's not the same as, cut off from it.
When people are really good at stuff, like, and you can just say that about snowboarding as well. When people are really good at snowboarding, they make it look effortless. Also, the thing that was hard emotionally was I used to be really good at snowboarding. And then you go back to, like, I can't even get on the lift without help. I mean, I know it's possible.
Oh, yeah. Just all the added stuff now that you have to deal with. Just it's like.
Yeah. And then I really needed a wee. And then I was like, oh, I almost pissed myself.
Oh,
and
man.
I don't know. It was interesting because the guy who's, they set these days up for you. And they're like, isn't it amazing? Like, you know. Does this fill that void for you? And I'm like,
oh, they're all excited.
Yeah, cool, because you feel like guilty.
Right.
You
feel and you're guilty. Yeah, good job.
We've done all this for you. And I'm inside, I'm dying. I'm like, nah, this is awful. I fucking hate this.
Right.
So yeah, it's interesting because geographically I'm perfectly located to be a sit skier. But yeah, I like other things, man. I like going to the gym. I like swimming. I like doing artwork. I like music. I like there's many other things that fill my cup these days. But
right.
Skiing just isn't one of them.
Heck yeah. But you would go back to snowboarding, I feel you. If you could, like, one day, it was like, here's
the
pass.
Just the sensation feeling. Of just floating, that, like, effortless expression of just, you know, playing with gravity. Yeah, I mean, I would love to experience that again for sure.
I'm going to ask you one of these random ones. What type of wheelchair do you have, and do you have a name for it?
I don't have a name for it, but I have a RGK Sub 4. I have a Tylite ZRA, and I have a Helium, Quickie Helium as well. So the Quickie goes on my bike. The Tylite ZRA is a little bit too big for me. It was my first wheelchair. And this one, my RGK, is a really it's the smallest. Like, you could probably get a wheelchair like for someone like me. So I can go go into the bathroom and close the door behind me. You know, I can get through remarkably small places. Like, I remember thinking, wow, like, this wheelchair goes where others can't. So the other wheelchairs are just a bit too big. But yeah, this is my daily driver.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
On that note, I have a question for you, Rick.
Okay, go ahead. I like questions.
Why do you use a power chair?
Well, being a T3, T4, I'm like nipple down. So technically, when I'm inside the house, I don't need a power chair. I have a manual chair that I use in there, which is a Apex carbon fiber. I forget what's it called. It's like a, I don't know. I forget the traditional name for it. But the power chair on my property, it's like to get out here and to do everything else, it's so much easier with a power chair. If I was to do it in my manual, just to get through the yard and up the rocks and everything else, because I don't have anything done yet. I don't have my house mods completed yet. It's just like, you know, it's almost impossible. I have holes and divots and animal bones, all kinds of stuff over. Not animal bones, but holes that animals have dug. But yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much why. And also because if I want to go anywhere, I drive my van. So my van is completely modified to click into my power chair. I have a bolt on the bottom of this chair that where when I drive up and I go into my van, I click into the driver's seat and it just clicks right in there.
I see.
So yeah, mostly that's why I stay in the power chair.
Because I thought that because you've got I don't want to say a low injury because it's a fairly high injury, but I know like a lot of quadriplegics and stuff that use manual chair. So I just wondered why he had a power chair, but I guess that's the answer. But there's a little bit of me. I was just like, man, is that guy a bit lazy? I don't know.
No, I mean, I wish I was, you know, and it's another thing too. Like I've heard when I was in rehab, they were talking about, power chair. You want to use a power chair, keep your arms strong, keep moving around in it. And they wanted me to work on my balance. You know what I mean? Like they didn't even want to give me handles. And I'm like, dude, I don't have any abs. What are you talking about? Like, I need something. So after that, there was other people that were like, you want to save your shoulders. You don't want to move your shoulders too much because you want to save them because you're going to need them the rest of your life. Get a power chair. So like everybody was like, you know, nobody had for sure information on what I should absolutely for sure do. It was really just based on opinion and what I felt like doing. And so with me, yeah, the power chair does make more sense to get from here to the house. It's a hell of a lot easier, hell of a lot quicker. And then obviously the van. If I ever want to jump in it and go anywhere, boom, there I am. And I don't have to worry about it. Now, the van I can't drive it with my manual chair, but I can sit in the passenger seat if I need to. So if the power chair ever breaks anything or whatever. But
I guess so. I guess like being a manual wheelchair user, I'm pretty handy in it because it's been 5 years now and I feel like a bit of a wheelchair ninja, you know, like, so.
Yeah. It's a lot more nimble and quick to be in a manual than in a power chair. It's a lot more bulkier. It takes a lot more time. In that aspect, it's a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, that answers that question then.
Yeah, man. Fire them off whenever you feel necessary. Now, this one is on the list. Any pain? What's your pain level like?
So I'm really lucky, man. I don't get nerve pain, really. I get like sort of pins and needles in my feet. What I really suffer with is spasticity. Like that's the thing I think my number one complaint, like, because again, I'm lucky I've got like a reasonable amount of sexual function, and like no voluntary movement. But again, my injury is quite low. So I've got a hell of a lot of sensation. But yeah, the spasms, man. The spasms just, I'm on 120 milligrams of oral baclofen a day.
Oh, shit.
And it kind of feels like it doesn't really touch the sides, man. So,
right.
Yeah.
I do 10 milligrams 3 times a day. So that's like, compared to what you got, that's minimal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I do that in one go.
Right.
So yeah, the baclofen kind of like works. So I can definitely tell when I don't take it. But yeah, so yeah, if you're talking about nerve pain, minimal.
Right. Well, I guess that's good. Yeah. I mean, a lot of us, it's different for everybody. That's one thing I've learned doing, you know, this show and other things and talking to people is like, you never know. It's the spectrum is huge on, you know, what pains people have, what they have to deal with every day.
So, well, before we move on, Rick, I just wanted to say like one of the good things about the spasms is that they alert me to things. Like, for example, I had a real bad spasm in my left leg today, and I was like, what the hell is that? And I took my shoe off, then I took my sock off, and I was like, oh, it's kind of like there's a pressure mark. I was like, my leg is giving me feedback saying, hey, take your shoe off, idiot. Like, you know, you've got something in your shoe or something.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Now,
the other benefit is that my legs haven't atrophied that much. Like, I've maintained a fair amount of muscle mass from the spasms, which might be my biggest complaint. But at the same time, when you have like a more muscle mass, then you're less inclined to get those pressure sores. So yeah, there are some pros. Like, they are my biggest complaint. But yeah, a lot of times I have to be grateful for the spasms as well.
For sure. You just mentioned about like having a rock in your shoe and like, you know, they let you know. With me, it's weird because I'll get like this weird like goosebumpy feeling, and I'm just like, what is that? And I won't feel good. My like head might hurt or something like that. It's AD is what's happening. But like when you can identify it and you know what's going on, you can save yourself from dumb things. Like, I had a sock that was pressed all the way in my shoe and I didn't know it. So when I put my shoe on, my toe was curled up on that sock. And I left it that way like all day long. So when I got home, my toe was all like purple, and the whole day I didn't know what was going on. And so like I lost my toenail. It ended up growing back. Everything was fine, luckily. But yeah, stuff like that can happen. And so like it's important to, you know, realize what those feelings are and notice, you know, what's going on and how to read them.
What about spasms? Do you have spasms?
Not too much, only when I'm like transferring or like if I'm getting like into bed or like something like that. If somebody was to like lift my leg up right now and try to get it straight, then yeah, it would probably like shake a little bit, but it's very, very minimal. And I do, nice. Like I said, I take baclofen. I take 10 milligrams 3 times a day, and I can tell when I don't. Like when I don't have it, like I have these nerve pains that'll shoot down, and it's not really pains, but they're like signals. Almost like, you know how it's electrical pulses. I can almost feel the signals hitting my feet, like my toes. It's weird. Without the baclofen, it just intensifies.
Yeah. Are you like, how active are you every day? Like, can you, for example, can you do like a floor transfer back into your wheelchair?
Nope. We've tried that. I mean, I can, if I really, really, really want to, depending on, especially my manual, this one, probably not, 'cause it's too high unless I use the foot plate. But it's like super, super hard. We tried it for a long time at doing PT at a spot called Mary Freebed here in Michigan, which is like a, you know, world renowned good place. Tried and tried and tried, couldn't get it, and it was just like to the point to where they were like, all right, well, we tried, we gave it a good go.
Fair enough.
So it's, I don't know, yeah. For me, I've seen people do it. I know it's doable. But I've also seen people do it that are like a lot lighter than me. I don't know. I've like, since my accident, I've not really lost a lot of weight, but I've not really gained a whole lot. Like my belly is big, but it's a lot of it has been this way, from my abs not being here. And they say that's because of your abs. They call it parabelly. I don't know if you've ever heard of that term before.
I have. Yeah. I'm lucky that my body fat's also low, but I also have my abs, so I don't like, I can.
Yeah. And that's a big thing is like, you know, once those go, it's just like all your stuff goes from here to, and it just kind of pushes it out. So there are things I can do, like I can wear bands and I can do like different things, but, as far as like going to the gym, no, I do like certain things. Like I lift weights. I have like barbells that I lift. I do, TheraBands all the time. I do like this, I do in like this, back, like all kinds of different ways that you possibly can. I mean, when you only got your shoulders and whatever, you can only do so much. Yeah. But one thing I found is it's not the same. We can't sweat like we normally could, or I can't. I can't go to the gym and sweat, you know, like I normally could. I can't get exhausted. I can't have that deep breath anymore like I used to have.
What about swimming? Have you tried swimming?
Hate the water. Can't do it. I've had surgery on this ear, and actually twice, and they had to like cut out a bunch of stuff, and it's just like me and water do not mix. I don't know. It's just something. I was born an alcohol syndrome baby, so all of my like nasal passages and everything else are very narrow, and so like it just traps water behind my head, and it's just, I don't know. Oh, I try not to try it, but I'm not opposed to jumping in a hot tub every once in a while.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Let me ask you this. What helped you the most after your injury?
That's a good question. I mean, I could probably say two things. Like, Lou, my girlfriend at the time, she helped me the most because she showed me love when I couldn't see it for myself. And she saved me when I was depressed. That was incredible. Like, it was, you know, I felt like such a burden. I felt like such a, you know, I definitely thought the world would be a better place without me.
Right.
And she stuck with me. But then I guess if you wanted to go a different route, like, what, can you say the question again?
What helped you the most after your injury? So what was like the biggest help you would think, like your main, you know?
So, okay. So you, so there's what that, so that's, I think you can answer that question two ways. So yeah, Lou was pivotal in
Shout out, Lou. Transformation.
But, you know, I say one of the things that's helped me the most after my injury is fitness, for sure. Like, I got really, really into fitness. I think I filled that void from the sports that I was doing. So just going to the gym three times a week, lifting weights, getting fit, getting strong, like getting my upper body as strong as possible. Nutrition, like eating healthy, like measuring my macros and just trying to eat a sensible amount that I could maintain my muscle mass but not get fat, because we live a sedentary lifestyle in a wheelchair, so that is really important. And I love swimming. Swimming is such a great outlet because I'm outside of my wheelchair. I don't feel disabled. I can swim in the lake, I can swim in the pool. That's really awesome. So yeah, I think one of the things that really helped me was just fitness, like, you know, being like, okay, so I can't use my legs, but, you know, I'm gonna overcompensate with my upper body. I'm gonna be really strong. And I'm going to lift weights. And also it strokes my ego to look good. You know, like, if, you know, my shirts fit me nicely and, I like to
see, I feel like you would be a good lifestyle coach, man. Like, you'd be somebody that you sign up with, like, what up, man? I'm Fred. I'm your guy. We're going to hang out. I'm going to show you how to eat right, how to be fit, how to get right. Let's do this. You know what I mean? Like, you're that type of dude. You just give up that energy. I think that'd be a good,
thanks, man.
That'd be a good fit for you. If you're ever looking
that's a kind compliment. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what about hobbies? Obviously, we've talked about the snowboarding and stuff like that before.
Yeah.
What do you take up your time with now? Like, what would you say is your main hobby?
I've got lots, actually. I was just doing a painting earlier. Maybe I could just grab it. Maybe my headphones, my wire, this won't reach. Hold on.
Nice. Hey, it's funny you say that. I have another painter coming, too.
Give me 2 seconds, Rick. I'm just going to pop my headphones back in. But
yeah, go ahead. Oh, he can't hear me, but go ahead.
There he goes. I like painting, so I did this. Really, this is a bit of a silly one, but like my landlady, she's like really adorable, and she like has some chickens.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's not finished yet, but like it's like a cool little painting of my. So I'm going to give that to my landlady because she's awesome.
Hold on, hold that up real quick, Fredo. Hold that up. To all of our audio listeners, right now he is holding up a adorable painting of a lovely old lady with white hair and glasses holding up a chicken. And she is dressed in your typical overalls, and it's just adorable. Good job, Fredo. Go ahead.
Cheers, man. And then this is another one of my pieces as well, like inspired from psychedelics. This one is called Put Down the Magnifying Glass and Pick Up the Mirror. This is a piece that reminds me sometimes when I think I'm right about something, I could be wrong. So in certain situations, when you say put down the magnifying glass and pick up the mirror, it means, you know, stop focusing, stop zeroing in on what's wrong with the other person and look in the mirror, because you might be it could be you. And often it is. It's really interesting,
right?
When I take psychedelics or if I get high, I'm like, oh, damn, was I the dickhead? Oh, shit, I am the dickhead.
So
this is just on my wall to remind me of, like, you know, be humble.
Nice. Heck yeah, man. That's awesome. Anybody that listens to this, as far as audio-wise, thank you, first of all, for listening. Second of all, if you want to see some of this cool stuff, just join us on YouTube. Check us out on Kick, Rumble, Facebook, and many other platforms. Now, you know... go ahead.
So, painting is one, like getting into artwork. That's a real nice hobby that I really like. But, like, music as well. I heard that you rap.
I wouldn't say, I don't know. I dabble in music. Let's just say it that way. I used to do rap and all that stuff back when I was like teenager growing up into it. I actually got really good at it. We had a group. And then I just started doing stuff on my own, doing sing-songy, more R&B-ish stuff. And it worked out pretty well until then this happened. And so I was like, well, I'm just kind of now getting back into it. Let me sign this thing. My caregiver's got to leave, so I got to sign him out. He's got this nifty little phone thing. You just got to dot it, cross the I's, boom. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your hard work. We'll see you Friday. Good. All right. All is well on this side. But I tell you what, though, I do want to get back into music. We're going to be starting to this back room, if you can see that, is actually – that's not a green screen. That's a real place. I call it my blacklight room. We're going to start that out, put the studio in there, and that way we can actually have live bands. We can have bands out here jamming in the studio. We can have it all recorded, have everything ready, as well as have vocal boosts and stuff like that. And then I'll be happy. The wheelhouse grows ever so slowly. I know, from time to time. So
nice, man. That's cool. So the reason I asked was because I rap too.
Get
so,
out of here, Fredo. Look at this. Look at this guy. I want to hear some of your raps. You got stuff on SoundCloud and stuff or what?
Nah, dude, on my YouTube channel, I wrote a Biggie Smalls parody. I can't remember how it goes now. It was all a dream. Living carefree in Morzine to a hospital bed, dosed up on morphine.
God. With the accent, bro, that's like, man, that's super sick. I love it. I'm going to check that out.
I got a video, which my friend, like, he's a videographer, and he was like, that song is sick. Let's make a video. So I got like a music video with that song. I wrote a really cool song for my girlfriend for Christmas about like how we met and stuff. Yeah, I like rapping, but it's kind of like, do you know Harry Mack? It's kind of a bit like,
I've heard of that name, but
he's like a freestyle rapper. I don't freestyle, but like I don't like to call myself.
I love
rapper
freestyle.
Because I feel like if you say rapper, like you get an image in your head, and I feel like I don't fit that.
Right. Well, that's why I don't like rap. Like when you said I heard you rap, and I'm like, well, I do a lot more than rap. I can actually sing. I can write music. I can compose. I can play instruments. So it's like I'm a musician, I guess you'd call me. Am I a very good one? I don't know. I mean, I think I can do the sing-songy stuff better than anything, but I don't know. You know, I just dabble. I don't know really. What is it? I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. That's what my father always said.
Nice, man. So before we move on, just saying about hobbies. So artwork, music, and then my YouTube channel and my podcast is like a really good source of nourishment for me.
Having conversations
with people like yourself. Yep. I've got like a YouTube channel, Fredo the Wheelchair Guy.
We're putting that all in the description right after this, so you can click on it below if you're watching after the live. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to catch you.
That's a great outlet for me, like a creative outlet, like interviewing people, like explaining their side of the story in long form conversations. I love getting to know people like that. That's really fun. Music, and fitness as well. Like I think fitness is a hobby, swimming, all of these things, like they all fill my cup. They're really awesome.
They all blend into the,
I think it's important to say that, you know, I would never have nurtured those things if I was still snowboarding and mountain biking. Like I wrote the odd rap song, but like I haven't, I don't know. It's just really nice I think if you're newly injured and you're like, oh my God, snowboarding was my life. Snowboarding was my identity. You can fill that void with creative endeavors that if you hadn't have nourished, you wouldn't have known how fun they could be and what smiles they could bring to people, you know? So.
Right. No, absolutely. Two questions left. Second to last, but not least. What about travel? Do you like traveling?
Yeah, man. I haven't traveled that much. I've traveled to and from the UK. I went to my nephew's wedding this summer. Last year, I went to Paris. I went to Bucharest in Romania, and a few trips back to the UK as well to see family. And yeah, I like it. It's good. I've had some really wonderful experiences. It is interesting traveling in a wheelchair. Yeah, it's a little bit different. You know, I think before you can, when you're able-bodied, you can stay in a cheap Airbnb, but now you have to stay in a wheelchair-accessible hotel.
Yeah, you got to search. So you got to find search and find that place that's like just right. And then you're not even guaranteed that it's going to be good until you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
and it's just a little bit more expensive, you know?
Right. So let me ask you this, though. Go ahead. No, go ahead. You're good. I was going to ask you, what's the most accessible place you've ever been to?
Oh, blimey. I haven't traveled that much, man. I know that the place I live is quite inaccessible, like not notoriously wheelchair friendly. I live in a little alpine village where it's got snowboarders.
Well, and it happened to you while you were there, right? Like you were there in France when you got injured. So really, I mean, you've been to the UK, back to the UK in a wheelchair. Yeah. But so from there to there, what do you think?
Yeah, so my point is, whenever I go anywhere, I'm like, fuck, this is so much better than where I live, you know? Like,
oh, damn.
Flat surfaces, ramps everywhere, you know, like, lifts that work. Anywhere I go is more accessible than where I live, so the whole world does seem pretty decent, you know?
Have you thought about moving from where you live?
Good question. No, I enjoy where I live. I think it's like a little utopia. Like, I know that when you look at the news, it's not an accurate representation of the world. It's more like an amplification of all the negative things that are going on in the world. But when I do see, you know, there's nowhere I'd rather live, man. I live in a beautiful little utopia. It is absolutely picturesque and beautiful and lovely. And I have a great girlfriend. I have a great life. But yeah, so I don't know, maybe, but I love where I live. I have to drive everywhere. Like it's not the most accessible place, but then,
well,
you know, I make it work.
Another thing too is, you know, why not? Can't they make it accessible for you? If you talk to the shop, so say you got a special shop you like going into, but it's a little too hard. Why can't you just say, hey, would you guys mind like maybe helping me out? Like put like something here that I can get up here. You think that's an option? Or I mean, what do you think? It just doesn't bother you that much.
It doesn't bother me that much, if I'm honest. There was a pub that put a step in recently. So they had the front of their building made into, instead of like a garden, a pub garden, it was more like enclosed. And this step just screamed like unwelcome. And I was like, man, you could have put a ramp. You could have so easily put a ramp instead of a step.
Right.
But the problem is I never go to that pub. So if I campaign to be like, hey, can you really put
you would never go
in
there anyway, and then they'd be like, we just wasted all that money.
I would never go there anyway.
Right.
But then the opposite side of the argument is, well, if no one complains, then there's other wheelchair people that can't
that's
use
not
it.
I went there recently for a
wedding, and I did say, I was like, oh, it'd be really nice if you had a ramp there. Kind of didn't make a big deal of it. I got bumped up the step, and they had a cool wheelchair accessible toilet inside, and I was like, no way. So, and then on the way out, I just kind of wheelied down the step. And again, I haven't been back there since, but it does irk me a little bit. I'm like, man, you could have so easily put a ramp there. But I also actually just applied for a job here as well.
Nice.
And one of the employer, basically, they gave me an interview, and it was downstairs and the office was upstairs. And I said, she said, do you have any questions? I said, yeah, how am I going to get to the office? And she said, well, if you're the right guy for the job, we'll figure it out. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It kind of made me a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it's cool,
that's,
right?
That's cool, but you're also like, well, yeah, good point. Okay. Yeah.
Why would you worry about it unless I am the right guy for the job? So I just got a second interview, which is next week. So I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah, you got this, bro. No problem. Fredo's got it.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I just fingers crossed, you know, it's going to be something that's going to challenge me outside my comfort zone. So fingers crossed that will be
fingers crossed. Yeah, I don't want to jinx a good point. Now, I just say because, dude, your attitude is absolutely amazing. I think that the positivity that you know, like is exuberate is just like it's great, man. Like people like me need people like you to do what you do, to put out the videos and be happy and be in a good mood. I've seen so many people that just take it, man, and they take the, you know, the low road, and they just don't know what to do, and they're just lost. And, you know, there's so many different things you can say to those people, but in reality, it's up to them. It's a choice you have to make. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. Now, last but not least, before we switch on, I actually, after you, I have another painter. This guy's a painter. He's an artist. It's great.
Oh, cool.
Shout out, Robert. We're coming to you, bro. Hold on. We're coming tight. Now, the last piece of question I got for you is, what would be the best piece of advice you could give to somebody who's brand newly injured in the hospital watching this right now?
Man, there are so many things that I could say. But I think if I had to say one thing, I would say the first time you try to do anything new is going to be the hardest time. So if you do something and you get really disheartened about how hard it looks, that is the hardest it's ever going to be. The first time I did a poo on my own, it took me 3.5 hours. The next time I did a poo, it took me 2 hours. It took me 2 hours, but I was stoked because it was an hour and a half less than my previous attempt.
Right.
And I think a lot of people overestimate what they can do in a month and really underestimate what they can do in a year. You have to be patient. You have to love yourself. And you have to, I guess, yeah, just acknowledge that it's going to be hard. But nothing ever gets easier, man. You just get stronger. And you will get stronger. And you will get through it. But I guess that's just from me. Like, that's personal advice. If I could go back and tell myself from my personal experience, some people with, I guess, higher injuries, I have a different perspective. Like, I don't really... Maybe I'm not qualified to answer that question, but yeah, I would just say have a lot of patience and things do get easier for sure.
Absolutely. Patience is a virtue, folks. That's real talk.
But there's other things.
Right.
There's other things as well. I could say I could signpost you to YouTube. I could signpost you to different channels like Wheels to Walking.
Oh my gosh. Don't get me started on
that
Richard.
That channel helped me so much, man. I became friends with Richard. We had like a really good, like little, he mentored me back. I got injured in January, 2019. He started releasing videos in February, 2019. Like every week there was a new video for me. It was so amazingly cool. Brian Kinney's got a great YouTube channel. Brittany's got a great YouTube channel. There's so many resources online. Like I didn't even know, like when I went to rehab, I didn't even know about bowel programs. They were just filling me up with laxatives and I was shitting all over myself. I went online and it was like, oh, just stick your finger in your bum. I was like, no way. I was like, oh my God. And then I did a poo straight away and I was like, oh, why didn't no one tell me this? So yeah, man, there's loads of online resources for inspiration, for practical things. Like you can, like, I think as a person with a disability, you get really, really resourceful. And there are so many people that do things in very resourceful ways that you can just learn from. Like you saw my video about the tips and tricks and like a tray on your lap, really simple, but there are so many things that can help you online. So definitely like do your research, be patient. And there's a definitely a life to be lived.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, folks, round of applause once again for Fredo, the wheelchair guy. Am I saying that right, Fredo? It's just like F-R-E-D-D-O,
yeah,
right?
Man.
Okay.
Fredo,
I just
want to
make
yeah.
sure. Now, right after we get live, once I'm going to go back in, we're going to edit this. I'm going to put in all your different links. People can check you out. Obviously, the YouTube channel. Make sure you go check that out. Subscribe. And then all the tips and tricks, man. Absolutely. Keep it up. Stick with us. Fredo, we're going to end the stream, but I want to talk to you real quick before we move on to Robert. It's a back-to-back Wheelchair Wednesday, guys. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next
cool,
time
man.
Here on
Appreciate
Wheelchair
it, Rick.
Wednesday. No problem, man. We'll see you just...